Well, I'm going to continue in our series this morning. What a privilege I have this morning to speak God's word into your life. I'm excited about what God's doing here in the life of the church in this series called Life Family Edition. We're focusing on training for families and encouragement discipleship for families this month. And on week one, you guys remember this, we talked about husbands and fathers and responsibilities for dads and men in the family. Last week, Karen joined me on the platform, and we were encouraged to keep building our strong marriages, husbands and wives. Today, our focus is going to be on God's plan for your children, okay? And so the message this morning is for parents, it's for grandparents, it's for future parents, really anyone who serves to love and to influence the next generation in any way. This message is for you today. God's got a great message for us this morning. How many of you love the Word of God today? Amen. God bless you today. God's plan for your children. Y'all pray with me for just a moment. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for the great opportunity that we have this morning to gather together in your house with you and with one another. And Father, today I just pray that you help us to be consistent, to speak your word, to receive your word, to apply your word to our life, to be encouraged and edified by your word today. May it accomplish what it sets out to accomplish in our life this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, we all pray together. Can you say a good amen? Amen. God bless you today. Look with me in your scriptures today or on your screen in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll base this teaching this morning on those Old Testament promises and instructions from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, God's plan for your children. Now, I want to begin this morning by saying this, and I want you to look at this on your screen today. God's plan for our children begins with us. God's plan for our kids begins with me and you. And Pastor Brandon and I have kids one day. And it could be that children are looking up to you even now for influence. And so all of us today need to understand that God's got a plan for the next generation. And it begins when you and I make up our minds to live boldly for God in front of them. God's plan for our kids begins with me and you. Can you receive it this morning? Amen. It really begins with us. Let's begin reading our text today. We're going to go from all the way from verse number 4 through verse number 9. And then we'll kind of revisit those momentarily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on the gates. You know, anytime I've ever read that in the course of my life and as a father, as a husband, in ministry, as a pastor, I've always kind of got this idea in my mind that God told us to write the word on the door frames and the gates because he wants us going through the word as we leave and coming back to the word when we come in. That's the attitude I think we should have is if we're going to train our children in the next generation in the Word of God. But I'm motivated and inspired this morning by verse number 7. It says this, impress them on your children. Impress them. Everybody say impress them. Oh my goodness, what a great calling God has given us for the next generation for our children. We are to impress them with God in our life. And so I want to talk to us this morning about your impact on the next generation. All of us have got something very, very special from God to demonstrate and to pass on to our kids, our grandkids, and the next generation. And by the way, this isn't what I planned on saying, but I will say this before we move on. If we do not impress upon them the Word of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the things of God, you better believe something is going to impress upon them. the world is going to impress upon the next generation. And it is up to us, men and women of God, to impart the things of God to the next generation. And if we don't do it, you better believe they're going to struggle. Can you receive it this morning? The word starts with a great instruction here in verse number 5. And this is really the first way to impact the next generation. It said, here's how we do it. Love the Lord your God. Love him. Verse 5 said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Our training of our children needs to flow from our very own love of Jesus. I want to make sure we understand that, guys. Our training of the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, our training of them needs to flow from within us because of our deep love for Christ. That is what must motivate us. See, when we demonstrate deep devotion and love for the Lord in our very own life, it will help the next generation to be drawn to him, to serve and trust him. Can y'all hear me now? This is how you are going to impress upon them to desire God's plan for their life. How many of you with kids this morning and grandkids can say, like me, I want nothing more than for my children and my descendants to have a desire for God's plan in their life? That is what I want for mine more than anybody. I just want them, look, I don't care if you get rich. I don't care if you get it all right in life. I don't care if the world can look upon you and declare you as worldly successful. I just want you to have a desire to pursue God's plan and God's will for your life. And therefore, we must embrace this responsibility to love the Lord in a way that demonstrates to them that they need to pursue the passion of God. They need to see your example in how to truly love your Heavenly Father. See, they need more than just a series of rules and religious regulations to adhere to. Are y'all understanding that this morning, guys? They need more than just a series of rules and legalistic attitudes in the home. Our sons and daughters need to see the reasons why we live a certain way for God. They need to see why we live for him. It's our love for God that shows them why we are part of the church. It shows them why we serve. It shows them why we give. It shows them why we pray, why we worship. We train them with demonstrations of our love for God. Amen. And when we train them with demonstration of our own love for Jesus, here's what will happen. You will inspire them and give them a reason to desire God's plan. It's a reason beyond dogma. It's beyond indoctrination this morning. They will begin to see and sense and feel how you love Jesus, moms and dads, granddads and grandmoms this morning, aunts and uncles. They'll see how you love Jesus and how that love for him affects your decisions, how it affects your life. And they'll come to seek and obey God in their own life out of a sense of love and gratitude for God rather than pressure, rather than stress and the pressure to perform some kind of religious lifestyle. Come on, y'all getting it this morning? See, guys, above all else this morning, God, he just wants your love. He wants your relationship. He wants your trust. And when we show the next generation how to relate to our Heavenly Father because we love him, here's the victory for a lot of people. Did you know that that's what God wants from us? He doesn't want you to relate to him because it's the right thing to do, because it's the religious thing to do, because it was what you were brought up to do, because you know that society looks upon you and expects you to just relate to God. No, he wants to relate to you this morning because you love him. Amen. That's his desire for you. And that's the kind of love and dedication and impress upon the next generation of sons and daughters that, you know what? This thing is real. This thing is tangible. It's something I can hold on to. I can feel. It's something that's going to work for me. And I know it, not because you talked about it, but because you had a real love in your life and showed me how to love Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. You'll give them an advantage. It's an advantage that helps them to transcend many of the pressures of this life, of trying to conform to a life of just doing good. How many realize that's a dead-end life right there? Just trying to please God by being better and doing better. Let me tell you something about loving the Lord. If you love Him, you know something about His grace and His mercy. And you don't strive to please Him because you just know it's innate, it's inside of you. It's a new nature. It's a natural ability and a desire to please Him because you don't want anything to come between you and the one you love. Your own love for Jesus helps the next generation get started in a life of freedom. Come on, somebody. You're going to give them an advantage of a life in freedom by showing them how much you love Jesus. Come on, can y'all say a good one right there? Amen, everybody. Number two this morning. The second way you're going to impress upon them, have His word in your heart. Verse 6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Amen. Everybody say, God's word on my heart. God's word on my heart. That's the commandment this morning. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the underlying base of all the training and the examples that we set for our children and grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. Church, they need to see from us that God's standard is His word, and it's the standard in which we live. It's the standard on how we choose things and how we make decisions. When we have His word in our hearts, and when we train the next generation in the word, beginning even in the youngest years, watch what happens. They will have the opportunity to have truth in their life in a positive, encouraging manner. You will give them the best opportunity to grow up in reverence of the word, in respect of the word, in love of the word, and believing God's word. That's our mission this morning. It really is. If you're going to set out to influence and impress upon the next generation, not only do you need to be living boldly in love for God every day and showing them that passion for Jesus, but our lives must be established and rooted in the Word of God with intentional training toward the Word of God in their life. It's our mission. Why is it so important? Well, you probably already know this because you've been through some things in your life, and most of us who have kids have already been through some things with our kids. But the world is going to throw everything at them. Have y'all noticed that? The world is going to throw everything at them, trying to make sure that they are rocked by problems, by stressors, by worries, by burdens. This is why it's so vital today that we train them in the Word of God right now. Everybody say right now. Don't wait. Do it right now, because the enemy's plan is to steal their chance to have a foundation in faith and freedom. That's what the enemy's plan really is. See, everybody in here has got a great call and a great gifting on your life to impact the world around you for Jesus. You have spiritual and ministry giftings, and you've got a call of God, and you've got a plan on your life to influence the world around you with the gospel and the Great Commission. That's why the enemy goes after kids so hard. Because if he can steal that trajectory right out of their life, right on an early age, he can set in part his plan and do away with God's plan. That's why right now is so vital that we train them right now so that our sons and daughters won't struggle for their lifetime. When we train them in the word now, we give them the advantage of having God's plan in place rather than the enemy's plan in place. That's why it's vital, everybody. Train them in the word. It will bless them wonderfully by teaching them the guidance of God. Everybody say guidance. Guidance of God. Listen, if you don't have the guidance of God, you're listening to all kind of people and chasing all kind of desires and feelings, and you might end up in left field somewhere. But when we instill and impart the desire for the Word of God in the next generation and beginning right now. I don't care how old they are. I believe this. Even if you've got a newborn who don't even know what you're saying, you still ought to pronounce the Word over them. Speak it. Yeah. Karen used to speak the Word to Josh and Emily before they were even born. She'd just be rubbing it, talking Jesus to them, you know. It's important that we understand we need to do it right now. They need the guidance of God. This is how God will use you to equip the next generation for protection against all the problems, the mistakes, and the sins that are going to come their way in this world. And they're coming. Amen, everybody. You all know this. When they've been trained by you, that's you. When they've been trained by you, they've seen in your life how this word comes alive. That's what they need to see. They need to see the love of God coming alive, and they need to see the Word of God coming alive in our life. I don't want to be too preachy this morning, but I can tell you this. I love you. I wouldn't even be a responsible pastor who loves you if I didn't stop right now and tell you this right now. If you do not live consistently upon the Word of God and break open the Word of God in your life with your kids, don't be surprised when they grow up struggling, wanting to know which end is up and what direction to go in. Moms and dads, granddads and grandmoms, aunts and uncles, let me tell you, if you want the next generation to follow in your footsteps and love and serve Jesus and become the great church of the next generation, make sure that you're living and serving and being as consistent as you can be every day of your life in the Word of God. Amen, everybody. When they've been trained by you, and that word comes alive, church, they'll be far more likely as they become mature and as they grow to decide to trust in Jesus. It's a huge advantage. Notice that verse 6 said that this word needs to be in your heart. In your heart. So that means that we need to train our sons and daughters from the heart level. Not just the head level, but the heart level. There's a big difference between merely knowing what the Scripture says and having that word in your heart. What do you mean, Brandon? Here it is. Head knowledge is just rote memorization. It really doesn't have a real effect on your life. But when the word is alive in your heart, it changes you from the inside out. Oh, there's a big difference when it's just up here and when it makes the transition from here to your heart. Because in your heart is when you begin to identify with what the word says. You might not be able to quote it. You just hear or see something and your heart will tell you, that's not the word. Who knows what I'm talking about? The word in your heart. And as you share that word of God from your heart with sons and daughters, with grandsons and granddaughters, they will feel it. They'll sense and know that there's something about this word that is tangible and it is real. It's something that can make a difference in their life, and they'll be far more likely to receive his word and never let it go. Amen. Can y'all receive it today? Amen. Number 3, way to impress this word upon your kids. Impress them by your life and your faith. This is verse number 7. It just said this. Impress them on your children. Look how serious God intends for us to take this. Talk about them when you sit at home. And talk about it when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. I'm still working on that one. I really appreciate the morning people who get up with the word on your lips. God intends for us to be characterized by the word, to have the word such a priority in our life that it occupies conversation, it occupies mental space in our life. And we need to be very, very careful to observe and evaluate the things that we talk about and wonder, you know, am I talking the word enough in my family? Am I getting involved in the word? Am I having conversations? See, training the children in the word needs to be done with great conviction, with great sincerity. Hear me out. If you want it to stick, you're going to have to give it all you got. If you want the word to stick, this is what I believe, this is what God's telling the people here, right? He says, you know what? When you get up in the morning, talk about it. When you go to bed at night, talk about it. When you're going somewhere, talk about the word. Have the word on your heart. That's persistence. It's sticking it out. It's making sure. I don't know about you, but I want it to stick. I don't just want it to be flighty and something fly by night. I want it to stick in my life and stick in our kids' lives. And that means that we need to be consistent. Church, hear me. Don't assume that the next generation is going to get the word through some kind of osmosis. The word is not just going to seep into them. Hear me out now. Please remember this point. Look at this statement on your screen. In our era, it is vital to be intentional about setting a clear path into God's plan. Intentionality. Everybody say intentional. That means on purpose. These aren't things that are going to happen by accident in your children. They're going to happen because you set out to be intentional with a plan and a purpose to fulfill every day about instilling God's plan in the life of the next generation. It's not going to happen because they lay down their head on the Bible and the word just kind of comes through their ears. It's not going to happen because you drug them to church. You got to be intentional, because you better believe the enemy's plan is on purpose. And we better be on purpose. I'm so glad that Karen and I were intentional about training our two in the word. Now, it didn't keep them from facing temptation, didn't keep them from making mistakes, because everybody's got to go through processes and temptations. Everybody eventually has got to square with what they believe. But when the word is in their hearts, the Bible says it will not return void, but it will accomplish those things which it set out to accomplish. I remember when Joshua was on some of his journey, and before he made his firm decision to serve Jesus, he actually ministered to me through a tough season right there. He's ministered to me a lot in his life. And so I remember I was praying for Josh over a season of his life, and one night I was trying to be a light to him and encourage him and be a witness to him, and I was getting nowhere fast. I was discouraged during this time a little bit, just praying for my kids and begging God to just, man, show them the light, show them the path into your will for their life. And some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all are there right now, okay? And so this particular night, Josh spoke up and ministered to me with a word and called the word into action for my life while I was praying for him. I'll never forget this. We were standing in the kitchen. He said, Dad, you know that God's word says, when you train up a child the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Then he said, now, since you and Mom did that, you can stop worrying because I'm going to be all right. Amen. Thank God. What a breakthrough. And I said, well, you're right, son. And I thank God every day that the word came alive in his life. Amen, everybody. And here he is. So being intentional about training the children into the plan of God. Real quick, how can we be intentional about leading our children into the plan of God? Just three very quick points, and we'll be done and pray for families today. But watch this. How can we be intentional about leading our children into the plan of God? Number one, look closely. Training can't just happen at church. It needs to happen in the course of family life. Amen, everybody. This is kind of where we are in our era today. So everyone is so busy. It takes two and three jobs. It takes both parents working. It takes everything you can possibly do to get by. And it's so difficult to work God's plan and purposes and intentionality into the family structure. And so people tend to come by and drop families off and come by and trust ministry professionals and church life to do a lot that God intends to be going on in the home. But training can't just happen at church. See, what goes on here under this roof and in the children's building and in the student building, what goes on campus here should be bolstering and fortifying the foundation you're already laying at home. It can't just happen at church. It needs to happen in the context of family life. What does that mean? Well, it just means this: lifestyle examples, living big for God, conversations, one-on-one time, bringing the word into daily conversations, demonstrating how the word can have an effect in your circumstances. This is how we make it real. Let me challenge you to do this, everybody. If you're a parent or a grandparent, someone who influences members of the next generation, have one-on-one talks about the word with your children and grandchildren. One-on-one. Pastor Brandon, that would be weird to sit down and talk to my kid about these types of things. I know. That's why I'm preaching it this morning. Because we need to adjust that lifestyle and adjust that issue and turn off the TV and say no to some social life if you have to and get off of social media long enough to sit down with Sally and Susie and say, what's God speaking to you right now? Mama, you mean God will talk to me? You just opened up at least 4 hours right there. Come on. How have you been blessed today, honey? Look, if you don't teach them to count their blessings right now and to look for the little things that God's doing behind the scenes, they'll grow up expecting God to flood their life with big blessings and not be able to be thankful and have gratitude for all that God is doing in their life. I know it's practical this morning, but get a hold of it. It's up to me and you to train them and teach them gratitude by saying, you know what? I'm thankful for this house we have today. I'm thankful for the job I've got today. You know what? I'm thankful for the car I drive. I'm thankful for the meal in front of me right now. Honey, I'm thankful that you woke up this morning and gave me that hug. I really needed that hug right there. Don't you wait until graduation to celebrate academic accomplishments. Everything she does, you make a big deal about it. And you thank God and you show them how the word of God is taking action in her life right there. Come on. Most people spend so much time on their phones and watching TV and the internet. Listen, who is going to counter all of those times and those influences in the life of your children if you don't do it with the word? I hope I'm giving somebody some ideas today because these are vital things to think about. Number two, very quickly, answering the question this morning, how can we be intentional? Number two, training has to be more than times of correction. It needs to be a positive experience. For those of you guys taking notes, I'm going to slow down for just, I see a lot of people taking notes today. Training in God, it must be more than times of correction. Now, here's the thing about that. Growing up in my life, most of my training was correction. Who knows what I'm talking about right there? That means I made mistakes, and Mama and them straightened it out. And that's how we learned, right? But thankfully, we had some positive, proactive times of training too. Amen, everybody. My mama did some amazing things for us when we were little kids. She went through so much. But she taught us about having faith in God. And to the point where if we even confess something negative about our life or our situation, she would look at us and she would say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You need to think about what you just said and don't let it take root in your life and pull it down, pull the vain thing down and get it underneath the word of God and reject that thing, because if you give your mind over to that kind of thinking right there, you're going to have trouble for the rest of your life. I'm just quoting my mama like when I was 8 years old. We lived in a little beat-up house. My room was about the size of a big closet. But my sister's room was adjacent to that room. And here's how it worked. They're a few years even younger than me. They were 5 and 6 years old. If one of them had a bad dream that woke them up at night, I remember my sister Jennifer saying, in the middle of the night, waking me up, "Devil, get out of my bed right now. I rebuke this bad dream in Jesus' name. I will not have fear in my life." Come on, somebody. Amen. How in the world do you build a faith and a life that's unshakable? You do it now. You don't wait until bad things come and then do it. Don't wait for mistakes and sins to come around before you impart the word. Be proactive. Set out with the purpose of equipping your family with the word up front. Amen. See, training is more than learning the hard way. It's more than correction and rebuke. Let's be a positive experience that we teach them all about the amazing life that God has in store for them, about the blessings that are attached to their life when they obey the word. Come on now. There are so many principles of the word that I learned at a young age that I appropriate in my life for years and years, and I'm so blessed today because of it. Thank God. Number three, real quick, we're wrapping it up today. Training. First, let's look at Ephesians 6:4. There's help for us in Ephesians 6:4 on training. It just says, fathers, this can mean mothers too. It says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want you to think about that phrase, bring them up. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean see them grow. I like to think of it like this. When I give you the word, by example, by word and deed, and show you how to love, you know what? I'm not letting you stay down there where you are. I'm bringing you up. I know it's a weird way of looking at it, but that's what we need. We need to be brought up from where we are. And we need to take advantage of the word of God. Moms and dads, granddads and grandmoms today, listen to me. Future moms and dads. Somebody's enjoying the word this morning. Watch this, guys. Have you ever noticed that the people sometimes in the world and the people around you, they want you to stay down? They get frustrated and mad when you get blessed. How many know I'm right about that right there? Come on. You better believe that your kids feel that too. And they need somebody in their life that's going to get them up. That's going to be excited when they come up. That's going to celebrate with them when they get brought up. Hear me now. Because this world's going to beat you down every chance it has. And somebody, we need somebody to run to this that we can just go like this. Anybody getting it this morning? Here we go. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Number three, being intentional. Training is not just physical. It's also spiritual. Don't forget to pronounce the word over your children. Don't forget, fight the spiritual battles with the word of God. How many know what I'm talking about on that one right there, guys? Hear me, let me just give you some examples right here. I've been there and you have too. When your children are troubled and you don't really know what to do, just pronounce this over your life and over the kids' life. Isaiah 54:13, it says this, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. There's something to pronounce right there over your kid. You don't have peace in your life, you're struggling, guess what? You will be taught of the Lord, and great will be your peace. You don't have to stay in this downtrodden situation. The word says this about you. Come on, somebody. I like this one too. When you're fighting spiritual battles over your kids. How about Isaiah 49:25? How many's ever fought a battle over your kid right here? Come on. Listen to me. Here's what the word says. This is the word of the Lord coming through the prophet. He said this, I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. Come on, somebody. That gives me a little bit of a comeuppance right there. I want to tell my enemies and those who come against me and against my family and against my kids, you're not just coming against me and contending with me. I've got a promise from the Almighty God, the Word of the Living God, the one who loves me, the one who went to the cross for me. And he said, I will contend with those who contend with you. I will save your kids. Come on, somebody. How about when your child is far from God? And you're trying to pray her home. Anybody ever been there before? Come on. Here's what the word says in Jeremiah 31, 16 to 17. What a promise. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. What a promise. I hear the Lord saying, be confident right now. I've seen all the work you put in over your kids. I've seen all the work you put in raising them and providing for them and praying over them and being there for them. And your work will be rewarded. Stop worrying and weeping. They're coming home. I said they're coming home. Come on, somebody. I love this one. We talked about it earlier. When your child has been to church and gotten saved, maybe even been baptized, but now he or she's getting distracted by the world and maybe struggling some, trying to search out what he or she believes. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it in and on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on. Some of you need to look at your kids and say, you know what? I realize it's a struggle right here, right now, but God started you off and God's going to finish you. He began something great in you, and it doesn't matter how many twists and turns you try to make or the enemy gets you distracted, God is faithful, and he's going to finish the thing that he began in you. Come on, somebody. Can y'all receive it today? If you're concerned about your kid's future, well, as long as you've given the training, you always have this promise from Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. What a promise. What a promise today. I have enjoyed the word of God and been edified by this today. Come on, if you've been built up and edified today, why don't we clap and give God a big praise right now? God bless you this morning. God is so good. Y'all stand with me all over the place today before we pray for families this morning.